Today's daf is daf vav. We're going to start at the top, vav kama vav. We're going to start at the top, at the two dots on the first line. We'll say a refuah shlema for the week. David Avram ben Miriam, Dvara bat Dina, Oz Avram Shimon ben Chana, Orli Penina bat Racha, Frida Chaya, Malka Esther bat Zipora, Lea bat Rivka, Yael Miriam bat Chaya, Michal Yishevet Dvara bat Kadima, Yaakov ben Rosa, Daphna Chaya bat Sarah, Talia Recha bat Tamar Sarah, Liloy Nishma Chana bat Atara Reza bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Halevi, Umela, and Yosef ben Tzvi HaKohen. Now we're going to go back to the Mishnah. If you recall in the Mishnah, I'll just read through the Mishnah, we could review, and we'll see where we're up to. Mishnah on bet daf bet arba'a avot nizikin hashur habor hamave v'ha'hever lo harei hashur karei amav'e v'lo harei amav'e karei hashur v'lo zeh v'zeh sheyesh bem ruach chayim karei ha'esh she'en bo ruach chayim v'lo zeh v'zeh shedarkan leilechu la'azik karei habor she'en darko leilechu la'azik. Okay, we discussed all these differences yesterday. We charted them out also, so if you want to look back at the chart, if you don't have it, there's extra copies here. So you can see, you have, yeah, okay. You can see the differences on the back about the differences, what's unique about each one. And then at the end of the Mishnah, so the Mishnah, again, it starts off with what the four avot nizikin are. It starts to compare a little bit. It doesn't really get into all the comparisons, as we discussed in the Gemara. And then it says this very important line, which we're going to now darshan. Hatzad hashaveh shebehem. What's the common denominator between all three things, all four things? Shedarkan lahazik. They typically do damage. Ushmiratan alecha, and you're supposed to watch over them, right? Presumably those two first things are linked, right? And since they generally could do damage, therefore you're responsible for them. Ukishehizik, chav hamazik l'shalem tashlumei nezek b'meitav ha'aretz. And when they do damage, the mazik, the person who does the damages, or the owner of the animal that does the damages, or the object that does the damages, has to pay from the best of the land. Okay, so firstly, if you notice, if we do say that mav'eh is adam, then the lashon is a little bit strange in this line, because what does it mean, shmiratan alecha? You're supposed to be in charge of adam, right? You're supposed to be in charge of yourself. So again, it's a little hard when you have four things and they're not exactly parallel. It's sometimes hard to give a klal. Obviously, the shmiratan alecha means you're in charge of your animals. When it comes to the adam, it really means you're in charge of yourself. It doesn't mean you're in charge of someone else.
When you said you're responsible when you're asleep, it means before you go to sleep, look out. You know, if you're responsible for your behavior, it means even
right. But shmiratan alecha means you're responsible for their shmira. Here it means you're responsible for your own shmira. But again, because three out of four is you're responsible for
something else.
It right. So it just kind of uses that lashon. Or you could say maybe that's a good support for the other opinion that says that mave is actually Shane and not Adam. But I think that you could still read it this way. There's just no other way to do it. There would be no other way to say it in a concise way without saying, well, when it comes to that, shmiratan alecha, when it comes to that, you're in charge, responsible for yourself. But either way, you could read it that way. Okay, now the Gemara's assumption, and this is going to be for most of the shir, okay, you can see this nice chart, okay, that we're now going to try to figure out, if it says hatzana shaveh shabahen, it must be coming to include something else that we didn't know otherwise. Because otherwise, what's the point? We already said these are the four avot nizikin. So now we're going to say, well, if you say that the common denominator is this, then that means that from that common denominator, you can jump to something else that you wouldn't have necessarily understood from the four cases, then from the four avot nizikin. So then the basic structure is going to be like this. Okay, you have Abaye, Rava, Rav Adabar Ava, and Ravina. You can see in the chart. Each one is going to say, oh, it must be coming to include this particular case. Then the Gemara is going to bring at least two options that get rejected, which is, well, what case are you talking about of that? Because if it's this, well, that would come under one of the basic subcategories, one of the basic avot. It'll be a subcategory of bor or something like that. Okay, generally it's going to be bor. And therefore, you don't need this line, the common denominator is, to include that case, because it would already be included in one of the major categories. So the Gemara is then going to have to prove, okay, that's in the Maskana section here, the Gemara is going to then have to prove in each one where you could find a case that it wouldn't necessarily be a subcategory of bor, in which case it's going to say, well, there's something unique about this that's not true about bor, and therefore you couldn't have learned it straight from Bohr, and the only way to learn this case is the common denominator between Bohr and something else. In other words, by this line of the common denominator. So that's going to be our structure today. Okay, then the end of the Gemara is a little different, but until we get to, through most of the daf, it's going to be these four answers, and it's going to be very repetitive because each one is going to go into detail. It's going to kind of follow the same flow. Okay, you'll see. So let's start. Hatzara shavesha bahen nekudotayim. Okay, so continuation, right, of what we just read. Latuye mai, what does this come to include? Amar baye latuye avno sakino masao. Right, we've seen this case. If you put your evan, a rock, a knife, or a package in the middle of Rashut HaRabim, right? What do we say? That's a classic case of Bohr. But what if you didn't leave them in Rashut HaRabim on the middle of the floor? What did you do? You left them, hinicham birosh gago. You left them on your roof. Now on your roof, right? Assumption is they're not going to damage anyone, but what happened? Naflu biruach mitsuya. But what happened to this object? It fell off in a typical wind, right? In an atypical wind, we're not going to make you responsible because you had no expectations that this would blow off in a kind of wind like that. You didn't think the tornado was coming. But if it falls in a typical wind, then it means that you left it in such a way that potentially something dangerous could have happened. And it blew off your roof and it damaged someone. So now, as we're going to have to discuss, when did it damage someone? As it was blowing off? Or once it already fell on the floor, somebody later tripped on it. Okay, and then we're going to talk about what would be the difference. Okay, I don't know if you can already think about the difference. If it's blowing off your roof, and as it's blowing off your roof, it falls down, what would that be a toladav? Which one would it fall into? Esh, exactly. Because it's moving, right? It goes as it's going, right? It damages. Koch hacher murabbo, right? The wind is taking it, and it's blowing it. Once it's on the ground, then it's Bohr, because it's basically like an object you left in Rashut HaRabim. So we're going to discuss now. So, avno sakino maseo shinchai barosh kago, v'naflu baruch matzuya v'iziku. So, hey chidami, what's the case? So now they're saying this is a case that we couldn't have learned out from any of the categories. We needed this common denominator to teach it. So now they're going to say why. Ibahade deka'az lekamazke, if as it's moving it damages, hainu esh. It's the same thing as esh. And maishna esh dekoch acher meurabbo umamoncha ushmirato alecha. Just like esh, where there's some other power working with it that's causing the damages. In other words, it's not just your act that did it, but it's something else with your act. And the esh, it's the fire is spreading, and the wind is taking the fire. In this case, the wind took your object and blew it, and it belongs to you. And you're supposed to watch over it. So haninami, just like esh has all those criteria, haninami koch acher meurabbo uma mancha ushmirato alecha. And therefore, it's just like esh, in which case you don't need hatzad shavesha behen to teach you that. Ve'ela batar denayche, what about once it already is on the ground? So it blows off your roof, it sits on the ground. So now, if you remember, we had a whole debate between Rav and Shmuel about if you're mafkir the object or not, whether there's a difference. So, ida afkirinhu, if after it blew off your roof, you said, oh, you know what? Too bad it blew off my roof, but I don't really need it anymore. In that case, what do we say? Bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, hainu bor. That's a classic case of bor. Because a bor is you dig a pit in Rashid Arabim, you don't expect to you don't own it anymore. You just dug this pit and you caused someone to get damaged. So both Rav and Shmuel agree, if you were mafkir the object and you say, I don't really care anymore, so I lost my knife, no big deal. And if that's the case, that's a classic category of bor. Maishna bor shekein tchilat asiyato lenezek. So from the beginning, it was miyuad to do damage, right? Like a knife in the middle of the street is going to do damage. Uman momcha, and it belongs to you. Ushmiratan alecha, and you should have watched over it. So haninami tchilat asiyatan lenezek. Uman momcha, ushmiratan alecha. So again, another possibility which we reject because it's exactly bor. Ela deloaf kirinu. What if you didn't? You weren't mafkir. It blew off your roof. You see the knife. You say, oh, I really like that knife. I'm going to go get it back. But before you go down out of your house and pick up the knife, somebody gets damaged by it. So now there's a machloket Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, that case is called not bor but shor, because it's your property.
It's dangerous.
It's a thing of yours that's dangerous, that's causing damage. So strangely, the Gemara right now only deals with Shmuel, and it says Ela delof kirinu l'Shmuel de Amar kulam mibaro lamadnu hainu bor. If you're gonna say, Shmuel says, even if you're not mafkir the object, it's still boring. It's not sure. Why does he think it's not sure? Because it doesn't move, right? It's different than sure. It more fits the criteria of bor, even though you still own it. Okay, it's still an obstacle you put in Rashid or Abim, and that would still be called bor. So according to Shmuel, right, Da'amar kulam mibaro lamadnu hainu bor. So again, it would be bor. Now, why the Gemara doesn't say, and if you say Rav, it would be sure, in which case you also don't need to learn it. So some people say that it really, in other words, in theory, it should have said that. It just doesn't. For some reason, it goes with Shmuel and not with Rav here. Some people say that maybe you can answer it up according to Rav, and that's why it doesn't say it. But we'll leave it at as a question, because I think it's more a good question rather than coming up with a good answer why maybe sure would work according to you could, I guess, say that according to Rav, if it's sure, well, it's not exactly sure. So in other words, while we do say it comes under a subcategory of sure, it would be something that would be needed to learn out from a tzadah shaveh, because it doesn't move, right? It's not the same as sure exactly, but I don't know. It's a bit of a weak argument. Okay, and we're going to see the same structure in all of these. They're all going to say, just according to Shmuel, we have a problem, and they just don't relate to Rav at all. It could be also because we paskin like Shmuel, and it could be that's why they went with Shmuel. Okay, you can see the gimel is by you see there's a little oak gimel by kulami barola madnu. So that little gimel tells you to look at the Amish pot and the where the right it's the Amish pot near mitzvah, but it's really the Amish pot which tells you where the halakha is, and usually the letter is on the one that we paskin like. So I'm assuming, I didn't look it up, but I'm assuming we paskin like Shmuel, and maybe that's why they just kind of go according to Shmuel. So anyway, we're still stuck with, no matter how you view it, it's going to be a subcategory of bor, according to at least Shmuel. So what are the answer now? Lo olam de'afkirinu. It is a case where you're mafkirin. Ve'lo damu lebor. But it's not exactly like bor. Why? Ma lebor shekein ein koach acher mu'rav bo, tomar bahane shekoach acher mu'rav bahen. So what's unique about bor that's not like these cases? Bor has no other koch acher mu'rav bo. You put it down, and that was it. Nothing else affected it. In this case, you put it down somewhere it was okay to put down. A wing came and blew it over. So you can't totally learn it from bor because, right, as opposed to the case we learned earlier, where you stick your Evan Sakino Masat in Rashid Arabim, that's bor. But if it blows off your roof, well, that's not exactly bor. And therefore, we need Hatzara Shaveh and Eish Tochiach. Eish will prove that having a Koach Achir Mu'rav Bo doesn't make you any less responsible. Your father, you might have thought, well, Bor is Bor, you did everything. And in this case, no, it's interesting. Okay, well, let me finish and then I'll tell you what's interesting about this. And in this case, Koach Achir Mu'rav Bo, meaning you didn't actually cause all the damage yourself. You put it down, it was okay, and then some wind blew it over. So maybe you're not as responsible. Then comes Eish Tochiach. Eish, though, will prove that that criteria of Koch Chemu Rabbo doesn't exempt you. Mala Eish Shekein Darkole Lechu Lazik. But then you might say, well, Eish has its own unique properties, which is Darkole Lechu Lazik, right? The way a fire works is it moves and it damages as it goes. Whereas this object doesn't move and damage, right? But Bor Tochiach, that's not a reason also to exempt, just because it doesn't have the tfunot of Eish, it has the, right? So now we're going to have, this is going to be the structure in all the cases, they're going to say, well, there's something unique about Bor, and there's something unique about Eish, but each one doesn't have the other unique item. Again, what do we have? Hatzara Shaveh Shavehen. In other words, each unique item doesn't prove that if it doesn't have that unique item, you're going to be exempt, because the other one doesn't have that unique item, and yet you're chayav. So the tzara shaveh now, the chazar hadin, okay? Chazar hadin means, so since that unique item is clearly not the only thing that makes you chayav, and that unique item isn't the only thing that makes you chayav, because each one doesn't have that unique item either, right? The bor doesn't have what makes eish unique, and the eish doesn't have what makes bor unique. So again, what do we have? Hatzara shaveh shabahen, right? Which is, right, according to the Mishnah, Darkan lahazik, not lelechu lahazik, right? Darkan lahazik, they can damage, and shmiratan alecha. Okay? So therefore, that's exactly according to Abaye. Now we've proven that this case of an Eben Sakin or Masa that blew off the roof has properties of Esh and properties of Bor, but it doesn't have all the properties of Esh, it doesn't have all the properties of Bor, but because it has enough in common with both, that's included. And you're going to be chayav for that. Okay? Now, what's interesting about this? Last time we saw Koch Acher Me'urav Bo, when we talked about fire, we said it was a chumrah. In other words, it means all the more so you're going to be responsible. And here we tried to say it the opposite, which is if you say Koch Acher Me'urav Bo, it means you weren't totally the one doing everything and some other power, you know, took it along. So the Mefreshim talk about that depending on the context, sometimes Koch Acher Me'urav Bo could be a sivala, it could be a chumra, and sometimes it could be a kula. It depends on the context of how you're viewing it. So here we're actually using it the opposite of how we used it earlier, and I think it was Daf Gimel maybe, I'm not sure. Okay. Rava Amar La'atuye Bor HaMitgalgel. Okay, the next structure will be a little easier because now we're getting into it's going to be the same back and forth. Rava Amar, which case does it come to include? Bor HaMitgalgel B'Raglei Adamu B'Raglei Behema. You put down your sakin, your evan, your masa, or something like that, Bereshit Arabim, and what happened? It got kicked by a person or kicked by an animal into a different spot, and from that spot it now damaged someone. In other words, right, if it had been, right, you could claim, well, if it had been where I left it, nothing would have happened, right? Maybe it was more to the side or something like that, but because it got kicked and moved to some other spot, it damaged someone. Now again, we're going to ask the same question. Well, when did it damage them? As it was moving, or once it already settled down, right? They kicked it, and then it settled in its new spot, and it hit and it hurt somebody there. So let's see. Okay, hechidani, ida afkirinhu. If you were mafkir the item, once you put it down in Rishit Arabim, bein l'rab, bein l'shmuel, haynu bor. Right, whether Rav or Shmuel, this is a classic case of bor. Maishna bor shekena siyato lenezek, ushmirato alecha, haneinami tchilat asiyatan lenezek, ushmiratan alecha. Sorry, in this case, they actually don't talk about, I forgot, they got confused. They don't talk about whether it hit as it's moving. The point is, it rolled by somebody kicking it, either an animal or a person, and now it's in a different spot than it was before, and it damages someone. So if you were mafkir the item, it doesn't matter. Right, whether it moved or whether it didn't move. You were mafkir the item. It's a classic case of bor. Okay, so now they're going to say, though, so itav kirinu, ben l'rab, ben l'shmuel, haynu bor, maishna bor, so what's unique about this item? Shekein tchilat asiyato l'nezek. You stuck it in Rishit HaRabim, whether you claim, oh, well, I put it here and it damaged someone there, it doesn't really make a difference. When you put it down, it was going to potentially damage someone. Ushmirato alecha, and you were supposed to watch over it. So hane name tchilat asiyatan lenezek ushmiratan alecha. So just like a boar has those qualities, this also has the exact same qualities as boar. Ela de lo afkirinu, and if you say, well, he wasn't mafkir the item, l'shmol de amar kulami barolamanu hainu boar. So again, if he wasn't mafkir the item and he still owned it, well, again, you could have the exact same question according to Shmuel. We learn this all from boar. So therefore, again, according to Rava, why do we need to say that this is a unique case? We're going to learn from the common denominator. We can learn it all from Bor. No need to say common denominator. So the Gemara answers again, La'olam de'afkirinu. It is a case, just like we said last time, where he was mafkir the item, but yet we're going to say, V'lo dami labor. Why? Ma labor shekem ma'asav garmulo. When you dug a pit in the middle of Rishit HaRabim, you directly caused the damage. Right? Because somebody then fell into that pit and got damaged, or some animal. Tomar bahane, but you could say in this case, she'e ma'asav garmulo. It was the ma'asim of somebody else that caused it, right? Like you could say, like we said before, well, if you hadn't kicked it, no one ever would have gotten damaged by it. But therefore, what are we going to say? How do we learn this from the common denominator? Because while it's not exactly the same as bor, however, shor yochiach. Because mashur shekein darko lelechu lazik, right? Shur is unique because it's darko lelechu lazik. And this item also, right, it was moving, and then from that it caused damage. So we're going to say Therefore, bor tochiach, right? But bor is going to be mochiach, but that's not the only unique thing that causes people to be damaged. Jarkole lechu lazik. Okay? And therefore, v'chazar adin, lo ri'izeh ki ri'izeh. Here they add these five words, which they didn't add last time. But often when you see the words v'chazar adin, chazar adin means, right, we can look at it in both ways, basically. And lo ri'izeh ki ri'izeh. The image of this is not the image of that, right? It's like the mirror image. In other words, bor has something unique, shor has something unique. Each one now proves that, right, this item, this thing, hamitgalgel, that now stopped in a place, it's not like shor, because ein darko lelechu lazik, because shor moves as it's damaging. This item doesn't damage as it moves. This item is stationary. But yet it's not exactly like bor, because how did it become stationary? Because someone kicked it from the spot it was originally in. So it damaged someone because of some other action that someone else did. However, even though those can't, right, those basically cancel each other out, those unique things, and in the end we have the common denominator. What's true about all of them? It belongs, right? It's your responsibility to watch over them, and it could potentially damage. So because it could potentially damage, and you should watch over it, and you didn't, therefore you're responsible. Okay. Rav Ada bar Ava Amar, third option. By the way, it doesn't talk about it here, but you have to wonder, do they each disagree with the other, or are they each just adding additional cases that you could learn from a Tzad HaShaveh?
The two cases are so similar. There was an object for two that moved from one place to the other. Why do we need those additional examples? It seems like really...
Right, so each one has something unique about it. The first one had a wind that caused it. The second one was caused by a person or an animal. Right. Maybe you could think, well, in that case, maybe they should be responsible, the person or the animal that kicked
right.
it. So each time there's something else that's
like
right.
Nuance.
It's a small nuance, exactly. I would have to assume that all of them would agree with each other.
Right.
Even though they're each bringing, I think really what's going on is they're all saying, oh, well, I can come up with another case that wouldn't have been included.
Right.
And it, like you said, they're all just nuancing it a little bit. Rav Ada bar Ava Amar, La Tuye Hadatanya. Here we're going to have a different case, not the same type case. Okay, the next two are a little bit of a different, right? Those two were very similar. These two will be a little bit different. Okay, so now Rav Ada Rav is going to say, well, there's a braita, and the next case is also going to be, I think, even a Mishnah, that brings a case that's like, that could be one of these cases that you would learn out from here. Kol elu shamru, potkim bi botehen, vigorfim marotehen, biyemota chama, ein lahem reshut. Biyemota gshamim, yesh lahem reshut. Okay, let's start and explain before we go on. If you, people had these gutters on their roofs, Or their sewage, okay? That's how they collected their sewage or their garbage, okay? So let's say you collect your sewage, and then you want to dump it out, okay? It sounds a little gross. So you're allowed to dump it out, okay, into Rishut HaRabim. You could open your, like, you know, they basically had, like, a gutter that was stopped up. So you could open it up and let it run out into the Rishut HaRabim. Or, Gorfim Marotehem, you can sweep your caves and dump the garbage, right? This is all about garbage collection, right? Somehow we mentioned garbage collection the other day. I don't remember what context. But also garbage collection.
Appropriate jobs at the end of Kedushin.
Right, appropriate jobs at the end of Kedushin, right? We noticed garbage men weren't there because they didn't have garbage men. Okay, that was right. Someone had said, you know, what kind of a job you wouldn't want to teach your kids to be garbage men. So here you see that they didn't even have garbage men. That's why it wasn't listed, because people would just dump their garbage on their own. There wasn't such a thing. They would just dump it into the street. So now, this is a very strange source because you're going to have to wonder what they did in the summer months. Okay, now you have to remember what things were like. The streets weren't paved. So in the winter, it's all water and everything just gets washed away and it's all messy. If you recall, we learned in Shkalim that one of the first things they do the month before in Adar is they prepare the roads, because the roads were a big mess from all the winter and it was all disgusting and dirty and messy and unpaved, and you know, they don't exactly pave it, but they straighten it out. So in the summer months, you're not allowed to dump your stuff. Ein lahem reshut. But b'yemotak shamim, in the winter months, yesh lahem reshut, Rashi says, because everything's dirty anyway. So it doesn't matter, okay? It's a little disgusting to think about that people would dump their sewage out, but you're allowed to dump your sewage and your garbage into the streets, because the assumption, I think, is that it'll just get washed away in the rains.
I wonder if people got more sick in the winter
right.
because of that.
If people got sick because of that, right, because garbage was, right, sewage was out in the street and stuff.
This is a nice example of where we don't go by the pshat anymore. Nobody argues that that's okay just because it's in the Gemara.
Right, that's
although
true.
From the other instance,
that is definitely true. This wouldn't be a case of, right.
Yeah, but.
So, okay, so now, But b'yimodak shamim yesh lam reshut. But listen to this. Af al pisha b'reshut, though, even though it's allowed to dump all your stuff in the reshut arabim in the winter months, imiziku chayavim l'shalem. But if they cause damage, you actually have to pay. So if you dump your garbage, and imagine, right? Okay, well, we'll see the first option, which is as you're dumping your sewage out, it splashes onto somebody's clothes that are hanging on their line, you know, or something like that, okay? And it damages their clothes, right? Sounds pretty disgusting, but anyway, or somebody slips on the water coming out. So, I keep losing my place. Hechidami. If as it's going it damages, right, as the water's streaming out, it splashes onto somebody and ruins their clothes or makes them slip. So then, kochohu. This is what we call kocho. That means something that comes directly from you, right? If I dump a bucket on somebody's head of some disgusting substance that's going to ruin their clothes, so obviously I'm responsible for that as Adam. That's Adam. I can't say, oh, well, it wasn't me, it was the water that I dumped, right? There's no such thing as that. That means that was Adam who damaged. If I dump, you know, open my thing and it all comes out in someone, that's kocho. Ela batar dinaich, but if you say once it already settled on the ground and then somebody trips over it, right? So hechidami, right? I dump my garbage with it. There's banana peels, and somebody slips on the banana peel, right? Your typical cartoon, right? They always slip on banana peels. So Ela batar dinaich hechidami. Again, it's going to depend whether you were mafkir that garbage or you weren't mafkir. Now, you got to assume in this case, he was probably going to be mafkir. So it's kind of strange that they even give the option that he wasn't mafkir, because the assumption is you're mafkir or garbage. But hechidami. Eat afkirinu ben l'rab ben l'shmuel haynabor. Maishna bor de tchilat asiyato l'nezek uma mumcha u'shmirato alecha. Hanenami tchilat asiyatan l'nezek uma mumcha u'shmiratan alecha. So if you were mafkirit, again, we're going to say it's like Bor, and it's exactly like Bor. In the beginning, you set it up to be damaging. It's your property. Ushmirato alecha. By the way, you have to understand property here in a bit of a different way, because it's not really your property because you were mafkirit, but it was your property when you dumped it out, basically. Okay? In other words, it was your property at some point. So haninami, so these also have the exact same criteria. Ela dilo afkirinu. So if you say he wasn't mafkir, l'shmol damar kulam ibaro lamadnu, hainu bor, right? This would be classic case of bor according to Shmuel. So what do they answer? La'olam da'afkirinu. Like in all the other cases, they're going to assume the case is he was mafkir. Below dami labor. But it's not exactly like bor. What's the difference between this and bor? Ma labor shaken shelo birishut. When you set up your bor reshut arabim, nobody gave you permission to do that. You weren't allowed to do that. You did it anyway, right? You basically started out doing something wrong. But in this case, tomar bahane did birishut, right? What did we say in this case? You're allowed to do it b'yimodak shamim. Yes, if you damage, you're responsible, but you're allowed to do it. So maybe you'd say that this isn't exactly responsible. Well, in the summer, right. In the summer, for sure, you wouldn't be allowed. Right, but we're talking about the fact that you're allowed and yet you're chayav in damages. Shur yochiach. Now again, shur will prove though. Malashur shaken darko lelechu lazik. Bor tochiach. Right? So in other words, again, we could say shur will be mochiach that it's not just tchilat, right? That it was shalo b'reshut. Because you're sure maybe he's allowed to have a shur, right? Nobody ever said he can't have a shur. But yet, what's unique about shur? Well, shur darko lelechu lazik. And that's not true about bor. So again, the chazar adin, and we're going to say it goes by the common denominator because each has something unique, and you can't say it's only that unique aspect. You need a sada sheved to teach you that we go by the common denominator, and we don't need to have all the particular criteria. Ravina Amar, fourth case, okay, and last case here. La tuye haditnan, here's a Mishnah. Hakotel v'ha'ilan shenaflu l'rishut harabim v'hiziku patur milashalem. If you have a wall or a tree, that all of a sudden, what happens? The branches of the tree get weak and they start to fall and they damage someone. Or the wall starts to fall apart. Right? You think about that wedding hall where the whole thing collapsed. Right? Right. The Ulam Versailles. I can't remember the name. So, right, here you have, you built a wall. The wall was solid, right? And then, right, now obviously we know with the Versailles, maybe it wasn't so solid, it wasn't built properly, but let's say you built your wall and just over time it erodes and eventually it falls apart. So, and then it damaged someone. So according to the Mishnah, Natnu lo zman lakotzet ha'ilam v'listor et ha'kotel. Now, somebody, right, it's unclear here, I didn't look at the Mishnah, but Rashi says it, it's the Beit Din. The Beit Din saw that your wall was looking not so good, or saw that your tree was weak, was weakened. And they said, listen, you have 30 days to cut down this tree, break down the wall, and or fix it up. So lakuta ta'ilan, either to cut the tree or listor ta'kotel, to knock down the wall. V'naflu b'toch hazman b'iziku. And they gave you 30 days, and within the first 30 days, before you had a chance to take care of it, they damaged someone. Patur, you're patur because they gave you time to do it. And, you know, you're still within that time. But la'achar hazman chayav. But after that time, if you don't take care of it, then you're chayav. Hechidami. What's the case again? So now he's saying that's the case, right? So la'achar zman, you would be chayav. If your tree falls down or your kotel falls down and damages someone, you're going to be responsible. If you didn't do it within the time the Beit Din gave you and you passed that time, you're chayav. And that's the case it's coming to include. So again, hechidami. Ide afkira, if you said, I don't really care about this tree anymore, I don't want it to be mine, or the wall, I don't want it to be mine. Bein l'rav, bein l'shmol, hainu bor. That would be a classic case of bor. You left this basically this basic stumbling block in the middle of Rashid Arabim in a way that could damage someone. That's bor. Maishna bor, dehezeko matsoi, right? A bor, it has, it's commonly going to damage. By the way, just to point out, I bolded it for you in the chart, that in each four of the cases, they say something different that's unique about bor, okay? Because they're trying to find what's the common denominator between this case and bor. So the first one, it was about that there's no koach acher me'urav bo, as opposed to this case, right? This case, ma'asav garmulo, right? Then the next case was shelo birashut, right? You did it, the bor was shelo birashut, and the bor is shelo birashut. And this one is Tchilat Asiyato L'Nezek. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. But, all right, I was comparing the wrong part. In the beginning, right, I didn't bold this one. Right there it was Kocher Murabo. We have Bor Tchilat Asiyato L'Nezek. Here we have Hezeko Matsoi. In other words, each time they pick a different aspect that relates to this particular item, both in what's similar about Bor to these things and then also in the case of what's different about Bor than these cases. Okay, so now, so Maishna bor de hezeko matzoi ushmirato alecha, hanenami hezekan matzoi ushmiratan alecha. So the same thing, right? These could commonly damage. Even the Beit Din told you that was the case. And you're responsible for it. So what if you're a mafkiri? You're responsible. Idilov kirinu, and if you weren't mafkiri, l'shmol da'amar kulami baro lamanu hainu bor, even Shmuel, right? According to Shmuel, he would say it's like bor, and therefore it's also like bor. So the Gemara answers, as usual, la'olam da'afkirinu, it is a case where you're mafkir, v'lo dami lebor, why? And this is where I was saying, each time it's something different. Ma lebor she'ken t'chilat asiyato l'nezek, tomar bahane she'en t'chilat asiyatam l'nezek. When you built this wall, you built it very well, and the tree was a tree, and it was solid, right? You built them, and that way, maybe it's different from the olam v'rasai, maybe you can claim, well, they didn't build it well to begin with, right? But here, the assumption is you built the wall properly. Also, I think in those days, they didn't expect to build walls that were going to last forever, right? So they built it solidly for what it was at the time. That was solid enough. And your tree was fine. It just weakened over time. So therefore, it's different from a bor, because bor, from the very beginning that you created it, it was already going to damage. And therefore, shor yochiach, and that's why you need something else, because shor will be mochiach, that that's not a criteria, right? That it doesn't have to be the Tchilat Asiyatan L'Nezek, because the shore, again, right, wasn't built, it wasn't created to damage. But ma l'shore, shekein darko lelechu lazik, but yet shore has something unique about it, that darko lelechu lazik, but bor tochiach, that unique aspect of shore isn't what makes you chayav, v'chazar hadin, and we're going to end up saying, well, that's why we go for the common denominator. And the common denominator will include this case of the wall of the tree falling after the Beit Din warned you. Okay, done with that. So again, now we're going to go to the last line in the Mishnah, which I already read earlier, which is, one other thing about all these items, when you're mezik, chav hamazik l'shalem, v'metav sadeh, right? Is that the words? V'metav sadeh, right? Yeah, v'metav ha'aretz. Okay, you have to pay tashlum e'nezek v'metav ha'aretz, with the best of your land. So first we're going to deal with the linguistics, the word chav. What should it say? Chayav. So, chav hamazik, chayav hamazik mibayale, the Gemara says. It should say, chayav hamazik. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, hi Tana Yerushalmi hu, this Tana came from Israel, it was Yerushalmi. Okay, this is, you're going to like this in terms of Israeli, you'll see in a minute. Ditane lishna kalila. They speak in shorthand. Okay, this is very true, right? In Israel, everything is rashi tevot, everything is short, everything is quick, right? So even then, you could see that they spoke in a shorter, concise language.
I thought they were
going to
say they took Hashem out of it.
Ah, the yud yud. Yeah, no, that's not right. So anyway, they say that's how they spoke, okay? I don't know if you can compare it to nowadays, but interesting. I thought it was a funny thing that Dafka, they say how Israelis speak quickly. Okay, and in short. L'shalem tashlumei nezek. Okay, now we want to go into this issue about tashlumei nezek. And now we're going to have, we actually saw this before, okay? If you look at the chart at the bottom, it'll look kind of familiar. If you remember, I'm trying to remember, I guess it was in the Ketubah when we had about the Idid and the Ziburid and paying which land you pay from. I don't remember if that was for sure where it came up, but where we start to compare the Idid and the Ziburid of who?
In Gittin.
It does seem like it was more recent than the Ketubah. So maybe it was in Gittin. So anyway, we talk about the Idid and Ziburid, right, could also be comparative. What if let's say the first chart. I mean, I'm just giving you an intro. We're not there yet. But let's say the mazik, the person who did the damages, has very good land and poor land. But their poor land is equal to the person they damaged to their best land. Okay, so now the question is, do they have to pay the best of their land, which is way better than the best of the person who they damaged? Or do they only have to pay the level of the best land of the person they damaged? In which case, in this case, they would actually pay Ziburit. They could pay from their worst land because their worst land is equal to the other person's best land. Okay, so we're going to have a bit of a debate about this. L'shalem tashlumei nezek. Tana Rabbanan. Meitav sadeh u'meitav kamrol yishalem. That was the pasuk we saw. I put it on the sheet. It's Shmo Parakafe Pasuk Dalet. Ki Yaber Ish Sadeh Okeren, Vishilacha Biro Bier Bistechir. This we said refers to Shane and Regel. Meitav Sadeh Umeitav Karmo Yishalem. And then we said from here we learn to all the other Avot Nizikim. Meitav Sadeh Umeitav Karmo Yishalem. Meitav Sadeh Ushal Nizak. Umeitav Karmo Shal Nizak. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says it goes by the best of the field of the one you damaged. We'll see soon what this means. First the Gemara is going to think it means something, then they're going to say it actually means something else. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo baha katuv ela ligvot l'nizakin min ha'idit. This pasuk is telling you that you, when you take the land from the mazik, from the person who did the damages, you take it from the best of their land, b'kavachomer lehekdesh, and all the more so for hekdesh. So we're going to have two questions. What exactly did he mean by the first, and what is hekdesh? What does he mean here by hekdesh? V'Rabbi Yishmael, so now this is the way they understand Rabbi Yishmael, and they're going to immediately question him. Okay, that's the end of the braita. Now we're starting questioning it. Achal shmeina mishalem shmeina. We understand if you damage shmeina is good land. It's fat land. It means fat is good here. And chusha is lean land, okay, where there's not a lot there. So if you damage, and as they understand first, when it says meitav sadeh shel nizak or meitav karmo shel nizak, they think it means like this: if you eat good land of the nizak, the best of his land, right? Let's say the animal comes and tramples the best of their land, so you have to pay the best, right? You have to value that damage as, let's say you damage a certain amount of land, so we're going to value that land, right? Since it was the best of his land, at how much value it cost. That kind of, right, the best land. But a kal chusha, let's say you damage lean land. The Gemara thinks that what Rabbi Yishmael meant when he said meitav sadeh u'meitav karmo shel nizak, he meant that we value, let's say you damage a plot of 2 meters by 2 meters of lean land, we're going to value it as if it was the best land. So instead of it being worth 100 shekel, it's going to be worth 150 shekel. Even though the actual damage done was 100, we're going to make you pay as if it was the best land. That's how we understand Rabbi Yishmael right now. So they question that. We're going to make you pay 150 when you really only did 100 shekels worth of damage? That doesn't make any sense. So Amar of Idi Bar Avin, Hacha B'maya Skina, this is the case Rabbi Yishmael meant. Kigon she'achal aruga ben ha'arugot, he ate a part of someone's land. The person had both lean and fat land. But we don't know whether it was good or bad, right? We don't know whether it was the better land or the worse land. And therefore, we're going to say you have to pay the higher amount. Okay? Amarava, that still doesn't make sense. And that's if we knew it was khusha, right, then for sure, according to this, you would only pay lien, right? You pay 100 shekel, according to my example. So hashta delo yadina ikhusha chal ishmeina chal mishalem shmeina. Why wouldn't that work? Hamotzim echavaro alav haraya. If you have to pay damages and it's not clear whether you damage 100 shekels worth or 150 shekels worth, well, it's on the person who got damaged. On him is the proof. Anytime you want to get money out of somebody, we've learned this many times. Hamotzim echavaro. If you want to get money out of someone to get him to pay for damages, the burden of proof is on you. If you can't prove that he destroyed your best land, well, you're stuck. So therefore, it can't be that that's what Rabbi Yishmael is saying. So therefore, we're going to now explain it as I showed you in the chart. Ela Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Hacha B'mayaskinam. What's the case? Kigon Shaita Idit Nizak Kiziburit Mazik. It's the first chart here. The Nizak's best land is equal to the Mazik Ziburit land. And that's what the machlok of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva is. Rabbi Yishmael Savar B'dinizak Shaiminan. We evaluate it based on the guy who was damaged, meaning you only have to pay your own ziburit because it's equal to that guy's best land. So he's getting the best land of what he's got, and that's fine. Rabbi Akiva Savar B'dinizak Shaiminan. Rabbi Akiva says no. It goes by your best land. We're penalizing you as the one who did the damages, and you have to pay the best of your land. It has no effect whatsoever on the mazik. So now we're going to see where they learned it out. My time is with Rabbi Yishmael. Ne'amar sadeh lemata v'ne'amar sadeh lemala. Okay, look back at the pasuk. It's on your sheet. Ki yavir ish sadeh. Whose sadeh is that? The sadeh of the nizak, right? When you damage somebody's field, O Karen, v'shalach ha'biro v'yar b'skei acher, Meitav sadehu meitav karmo yishalem. The later part of the pasuk also refers to a sadeh. So which sadeh? We're going to assume, just like the sadeh in the beginning of the pasuk was the nizaks, likewise the sadeh at the end of the pasuk is going to be the nizaks. So ma sadeh amor lamala dinizak, af sadeh amor lamata dinizak. For Rabbi Akiva, how does he read the pasuk? More according to its pshat, right? Meitav sadehu meitav karmo yishalem deheach dekama shalem. Obviously, it's referring to, right? It says, pay from your best field. Your best field meaning your field, not the other guy's field. Rabbi Yishmael, so what's Rabbi Yishmael going to say to that? What does he do with the pshat? So now he says, Ahani gzei reshava v'ahani kra. I can explain both according to the drash and according to the pshat. Depends on the case. Ahani gzei reshava kidka amina. The gzei reshava works in the case that we said, where the ziburita, the mazik, is equal to the nizak. So that, then we go with the drasha. Right? And we say it only has to be as best as their best land is. But ahane kra, when do we go by the pshat? Look at the second chart on the left. Kegon diile lemazik is idit v'ziburit v'idit lanizak v'ziburit lemazik lo shav. Sorry, read it again. Ile lemazik idit v'ziburit. He's got both idit and ziburit, and the nizak has idit. Idit lanizak. Okay, and the ziburit of the mazik. Lo shavya ki idit nizak. Okay, now what happens? The idit of the nizak is not as good as the idit of the mazik. But the ziburit of the person who caused the damage is too low. It's not equal to, in the first case, they were equal. His worst to his best. In this case, the guy's best is in between the ziburit and the idit. And you might have thought in that case, what will he say? Well, I don't need to give you my idit because it's better than your land. I'll just give you my ziburit. And in that case, Rabbi Yishmael says, we're going to go by the pshat of the pasuk. Meitav sadehu, meitav karmo yishalem. He has to pay his own best field. Okay, so here we see it inside. D'mishalem lemi meitav didei. He has to pay his own best land. D'lo matze amale. He can't say to him, ta'ad gabi mi ziburit. Ela gabi mi meitav. He can't say to him, go take from my ziburit because, you know, I don't have, your idit is not so great. It's not as good as my idit. I don't have to give you my idit. Ela gabi mimetav. He can't say that. Okay? So we're going to stop here. The next thing already starts a new thing about the hekdesh. This line that Rabbi Akiva said about the hekdesh, what's he talking about when he's referring to hekdesh? And the Gemara is going to struggle a little bit to figure out what case is he referring to.